You know that feeling when you really want to get your head around something important, but maybe wading through loads of articles just feels like a lot.
Yeah, daunting sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, think of this as your shortcut. Today we're doing a deep dive into something that's honestly fundamental to everything now: digital objects.
Couldn't be more relevant.
We've pulled together some really interesting stuff. There's a piece from the Oxford Internet Institute, a kind of handy this versus that, comparing physical and virtual things, and a good definition of digitization from TechTarget.
A nice mix of perspectives, academic and practical.
Right. And our goal here is pretty simple, really. We want to get past the jargon and figure out why these digital things matter so much, you know, whatever your background is, and maybe uncover some surprising things about how they actually exist.
Absolutely. I mean, we're just swimming in digital information constantly, aren't we? So this dive is about clarifying what these objects are, and maybe even more crucial, why managing them properly is, well, essential these days.
Okay, let's dive in then. Digital objects. So the Oxford Internet Institute, the OII, they start with this definition: an object composed of a set of bit sequences. Now, okay, for those of us whose eyes might just glaze over a bit hearing that, what does that actually mean in simple terms?
Basically, it's anything that can be represented by a stream of digital information, those ones and zeros or bits, and it shows up to us as a digital file.
Like a Word doc or a photo.
Exactly. It's the underlying code, really, that makes up everything we interact with digitally. So yeah, a simple text file you write, or something much more complex, like, say, a video file you watch online.
Okay.
And the OII article actually points out that complexity, a video isn't just one thing. It's got, separate video tracks, audio tracks, all bundled together in what they call a container file.
Gotcha. So, like, a text file is maybe one instrument, but a video is a whole orchestra playing together.
That's a great analogy, yeah.
Now, our this versus that source, it talks about the virtual realm existing in the digital world and taking up virtual space. How does that idea fit with these bits and files?
Well, think of the digital world as the infrastructure, right? The internet, our laptops, the servers, the hard drives, where these digital objects actually
The
live.
physical stuff, almost.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And virtual space is more like the abstract environment within that infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's not tangible like a room, but it's where those bit sequences get organized and shown to us as, the documents, images, and videos we actually use.
Okay, that makes sense. And then TechTarget brings in this word digitization. They say it's the process of taking analog information,
Yeah.
like real-world stuff, and turning it into that digital format, those bits and bytes.
Exactly right.
So this is basically how these digital objects get created in the first place, converting the old world into the new.
Precisely. Digitization is that critical bridge. Think about scanning an old photo. The scanner looks at the light and dark patterns on the paper photo and translates that physical information into a digital file made up of bits. That's digitization happening right there.
And TechTarget lists a whole bunch of ways this happens, like OCR for turning scanned text into something you can edit,
Yep, optical character recognition.
or recording audio like you're doing now, or video, and converting those analog sound waves or light patterns into digital data.
Absolutely. Sampling those waveforms, essentially.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you stop and think. Suddenly, physical books, music on vinyl, old film reels,
Yeah.
even like sensor readings, it all becomes these collections of bits.
It is. And what's really interesting is the history TechTarget gives. They trace it back to the 1950s. IBM's RAMAC, this massive magnetic storage thing.
Wow, how big.
Huge, like refrigerator sized, apparently holding just a few megabytes. It really puts today's storage into perspective.
No kidding. And then you see the timeline unfold,
Yeah.
digital audio popping up in the 60s,
Right.
PCs and the internet making it more common in the 70s,
Right.
then things really speeding up in the 80s
Right.
and 90s.
Yeah, the acceleration phase.
And then the 2000s and 2010s with MP3 players, Kindles, everything going digital. It's actually a pretty short history, but look how much it's changed everything.
Utterly transform things. Which brings us to a really vital point from the OII article, and it's something that often catches people out, this idea, this assumption that digital stuff lasts forever.
Yeah. Digital is permanent. You hear that a lot.
Right. But the OII flatly contradicts that. They say quite clearly that digital objects are actually very vulnerable to damage.
Okay, that got my attention too. We always worry about dropping a vase or tearing a book, but digital feels safe. But apparently not. They mentioned bit rot. What on earth is bit rot? Sounds kind of nasty.
It does sound dramatic. It's basically the slow, gradual decay of the actual storage medium, the CD, the hard drive platter, the flash memory chip.
Yeah.
Over time, this physical decay can cause errors, corrupting the data bits.
So it's physical, even though it affects the digital data.
Exactly. It's happening at a tiny level. And the OAI points out, even things we think are stable, like professionally pressed CDs or DVDs, their actual long-term lifespan is still kind of unproven. And that's before you even get to the obvious physical risks, like dropping a USB stick or spilling coffee on a hard drive.
Or just losing them. How many USB sticks vanish?
Oh, absolutely. Lost, stolen. And it's not just the physical storage itself, is it? The OII also talks about just losing access, forgetting passwords. I think we can all relate to that pain.
Definitely.
Or maybe a cloud service you relied on just shuts down. Poof.
Yeah, that's scary.
The data might still exist somewhere, theoretically, but if you can't get to it, it's gone for you. And then there's the whole nightmare of software and hardware obsolescence.
Ah, right, like trying to play an old video game.
Exactly. The OAI uses Betamax tapes and floppy disks as examples. It's not just whether the tape or disk itself has degraded, it's can you even find a working Betamax player or a computer with a floppy drive anymore?
Rubbing that easily.
And even if you could find the hardware, you then need the right drivers, the right software that can actually understand that old file format.
Hmm.
It becomes a massive headache.
Hmm. It's interesting because this versus that piece we mentioned, it contrasts physical objects needing physical space and being prone to decay with virtual objects stored digitally. But it sounds like digital storage just swaps one set of problems for another, technology-dependent set.
That's a really good way to put it. Virtual storage gets rid of the, you know, mold and mildew problems, but it introduces these other fragilities. Dependence on specific tech, the need for power, the constant march of updates and obsolescence.
So that leads us to needing to manage this stuff.
Precisely. And that's where this concept of digital curation comes in. The OAI calls it proactive intervention. The whole point is to keep these digital objects findable, accessible, and understandable over the long haul.
Proactive intervention. Okay, that sounds like more than just hitting save.
Much more. And the OAI adds another crucial element, maintaining authenticity. Making sure the digital object stays the same as it was when it was first created.
Why is authenticity so important? Isn't a copy just as good?
Well, think about it. Imagine a historian looking at a digital version of an old document. If it's been subtly altered, maybe bits deleted or changed, without any record of that change, its value as evidence just collapses.
Ah, right. You couldn't trust it.
Exactly. Yeah. So digital curation is this ongoing process. It's about managing these objects through their whole life cycle to make sure they stay accurate, usable, trustworthy. The OII actually quotes the Digital Curation Center, defining it as the activities involved in maintaining, preserving, and adding value throughout the object's life. It's active work.
Okay, so this is all a bit abstract still. Let's make it concrete. The OII uses this great example of an artist's workflow, and it's amazing how many digital objects are involved, even for someone making, say, a physical painting.
It's a perfect illustration because it applies so broadly. So, the artist, right? They're searching online, maybe downloading images, texts for inspiration. That's digital object number one.
Research materials.
Yep. Then they're using their phone or a camera, taking snaps of maybe models, reference objects, maybe even other art they like. Documentation.
More digital objects.
Then studio shots, photos of the work in progress, maybe their paint palette for color reference. Capturing the process.
Okay, yeah.
And then, naturally, digital photos of the finished painting. For their website, for Instagram, maybe for emailing to a gallery or entering a competition.
Online presence, promotion.
Exactly. And don't forget the digital text documents, artist statements, emails back and forth with curators, invoices.
All the admin stuff.
And maybe even spreadsheets to keep track of what they've made, where it is if it's sold, organization, record keeping.
Wow. When you list it like that, it's everywhere, even for a painter.
It really is. And you can easily see the parallels in almost any field now. A writer's research files. Drafts, final manuscript, a scientist's data sets, analysis scripts, papers, a musician's audio recordings, project files, lyric sheets.
It makes you think about just the sheer volume of digital stuff we all create and rely on day in, day out, in our jobs, in our personal lives.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to that broader view from TechTarget, looking at the pros and cons of digitization itself.
Right, the bigger picture.
So on the plus side, they mention things like, obviously, easier access to information. You don't have to physically go to an archive sometimes.
Definitely a plus.
Easier data analysis, potentially better customer experiences, these huge digital libraries and archives we now have, online learning, making businesses run more efficiently.
Face paper, maybe.
Reduced costs in some areas, yeah. Opening up new markets. TechTarget gives examples in manufacturing, smart factories, and healthcare, like remote monitoring. It's enabling huge shifts. Digital transformation, really.
Okay, but it can't be all good news. What are the downsides TechTarget mentions?
Well, there are significant ones. Privacy concerns are huge, obviously. The risk of data being altered or manipulated if security isn't tight. Our increasing dependence on the technology. What happens if the system goes down?
Yeah, the vulnerability again.
Then there are the upfront costs. Scanning everything, setting up systems isn't always cheap. Security risks like hacking and data breaches. And crucially, the digital divide that not everyone have equal access or skills.
So it's a trade-off, like most things.
It really provides that balanced perspective. Lots of potential, but also real challenges and risks to manage.
And TechTarget also made a distinction, didn't they, between just digitization and digital transformation.
Yes, that's a really important nuance. Digitization, like we said, is that basic conversion. Scanning a paper form into a PDF, that's digitization.
Step one.
Exactly. Digital transformation is much bigger, more strategic. It's about fundamentally changing how a business or an organization or even a whole sector operates using digital tools and thinking. It's about redesigning processes, creating new services, rethinking the whole model. Digitization is often just a piece of that much larger puzzle.
Okay, got it. So let's try and wrap this deep dive up. What are the main takeaways? We've seen digital objects, these collections of bits, are totally central to modern life, even if we don't always think about them.
Absolutely fundamental.
They get created through digitization, translating the analog world into digital data. But, and this is the kicker, despite feeling permanent, they're actually quite fragile.
Surprisingly so. Vulnerable to physical damage, bit rot, losing access, and just becoming unreadable because the technology moves on.
Which is why this idea of digital curation, that active ongoing management, is so vital if we want to keep this stuff accessible and trustworthy in the future.
It's not a save it and forget it situation. It requires constant attention.
And this whole process of digitization, while offering massive benefits like access and efficiency, also comes with real downsides. Privacy, security, the digital divide. And it's often just one step towards that bigger goal of digital transformation.
A really good summary. It covers the key points from all the sources.
So a final thought then, maybe something for you, the listener, to chew on. Think about your own digital life for a second. All those files you create, the photos, the documents, the emails, the stuff you rely on every single day. What actual steps are you taking, if any, to make sure those valuable digital things will still be there, still be usable in 5 years, 10 years, 20? What are you trusting to hold them? Is it just your laptop's hard drive, a cloud service, an old USB stick in a drawer?
It's a critical question. What carrier media are you relying on? And given how fragile we've seen they can be, are there maybe better, more resilient ways to safeguard your important digital assets?
Definitely some food for thought there. This has been really fascinating, digging into something we usually take for granted.
It really highlights the hidden complexities behind our smooth digital experiences.
Absolutely. It really touches all of us. And as always, this conversation is just a starting point. There's always more to learn, more to discuss.